We're also joined by Rodin Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Mike Stenhouse, your institute is a free market institute with conservative values. You oppose the idea of the government picking winners and losers in the economy. The counter argument from Governor Raimondo is that incentives are necessary because other states use them. Rhode Island can't be on the sidelines. She has brought in a number of businesses, a number of them with good wages, and the tax benefits won't come in until jobs are created and wages paid. So what is your response to the governor's argument?
It's not enough. We have tens of thousands of Rhode Islanders who need jobs or better paying jobs. We know that it's low wages. So a few hundred jobs here, a few hundred jobs there, at a very high cost, by the way, to state taxpayers, we just don't think is worth it. But I will concede this. It would be okay to go after a few deals like that if we solve the underlying problem why they need incentives in the first place, which is our horrid business climate, which we know is ranked 10 in bottom 10 in so many national indexes. Taxes, our center is on a big deregulation push right now. So if we did some incentivized, targeted recruiting along with improving our business climate, I would be a much happier guy. But 100% of the effort is just focused on a few crony corporate handouts, which really isn't going to solve the big problem.
We've seen some states in other parts of the country, like Kansas, which had really deep tax cuts, and now they don't have enough money for public education, and they're backtracking. What lesson do you draw from that?
Well, Kansas cut taxes but didn't cut spending, and they got themselves into an even deeper hole. While the taxes helped on some, the spending on the other, and so there just wasn't enough money to go around. So you have to be prudent with reducing the business climate. It's hard to do it big all at once. You know, we proposed the sales tax cut, as you remember, years ago to boost the economy. That would be a big, dramatic step, but politicians don't usually like to take big, dramatic steps. They like to take little incremental reform. So, but we've got to start improving the business climate little step by little step.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm just wondering, you talk about spending. I know you're not a big government fellow at all. But where do you think you could cut state spending and don't say fraud, waste, and abuse? Because that's the cliche.
No, I agree. I think generally we need to rethink a work ethic in this state. I think you don't necessarily have to cut a lot of spending if you get more people off the welfare rolls and into work. Then the spending just naturally goes down in the social. It's the social services where we spend most of our money. We think the expansion of Obamacare and Medicaid, and it did. It's added a lot of cost that we didn't have, you know, five, 6 years ago, right? People survive. People, you know, maybe you can say not enough people have insurance, but we think an open, more competitive healthcare market would allow people to buy private health insurance, even if it's subsidized by the government, which would cost less than subsidizing expensive and inefficient Medicaid. So you have to go after the social services, you know, I mean, but you have to do it in a prudent way. We can't leave people stranded either, right? We are a wealthy enough society where we need to have that compassion, but we've got to start turning that ship around and stop thinking that everybody can live off the government for generation after generation.
I take it you're not a big fan of the proposed tax subsidy to help build a new ballpark for the Pawtucket Red Sox.
I wouldn't even call it a subsidy. I think the debate is off on that. Our center has taken a neutral position that we should leave it up to the voters. But I think even, you know, Scott, if I may, I think the word subsidy is even not an accurate term. You know, it's kind of a loan kind of thing. And if the real question with the Paw Sox deal, if the team meets its business plan, it's not going to cost state taxpayers anything. If the team fails to meet its business plan, it's going to cost taxpayers something. If we lose the Paw Sox, it's going to cost taxpayers something. So that's, to me, is where the debate should be. The deal is totally dependent on how well the team does. And nobody knows what that's going to be. So I don't know are we willing to take that risk or not?
We're talking here with Mike Stenhouse, CEO of the conservative-leaning Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity. And Mike, we see how Cranston Mayor Alan Fung and the Republican leader in the Rhode Island House, Patricia Morgan, along with independent Joe Trillo, are among those hoping to take on Governor Raimondo this November. Who do you like for governor?
I'm going to be totally neutral here. We don't endorse or support candidates. What I have publicly said, as I have called on whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, if you're a conservative or a moderate, I do call on you to openly contest the progressive movement in this state. It's a cancer in our state. They don't share the same values that most Rhode Islanders share. It's growing. It's dangerous. And unless we find political leadership to take them on, because they have leadership, they have a media darling, they have well-funded out-of-state backers, we need somebody to stand up. And I haven't seen any of those candidates stand up and take them on yet.
You called the progressive movement a cancer in the state. In your recent editorial in the Journal, you called them anti-American socialists. Is your rhetoric too thick or too over the top? Because you got a response from Lofton Asensio with the Young Democrats, who said that progressive values are really Rhode Islanders' values, and that a lot of this is about trying to narrow the gap on issues like income inequality.
But they may not realize what they believe in. I don't consider what I said rhetoric at all. I think it's absolute truth. You look at their progressive values pledge, and you see the attacks on religious rights, First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, Fourth Amendment property rights. They do not agree with American values. They believe they know best and that we as individuals should have less control over our own lives. And you know, I completely disagree with that. That is socialism.
I noticed that you talk often about a society getting too secular. But I'm wondering, Christians, have you been to a mainline Protestant church recently? Congregational?
I'm a Catholic. So.
Yeah, well, the whole world of Christianity is not, and Judaism, for instance, is not just conservative Catholics and evangelical Protestants.
I agree. I listen to non-Catholic preachers on TV all the time. Love Joel Osteen, for instance. Love him.
I mean, there's a lot of varieties of Judaism and Christianity that do embrace some of these progressive values.
Well, it's not religion. It's religious rights that I'm talking about, okay?
We have separation of church and state. It's an old New England tradition here in Rhode Island.
But that's pretty much misunderstood, too. Right, the separation of church and state, a state can't force a religion on anybody. It doesn't say that you're not allowed to express your religious beliefs in public or in a school, or that religious thinkings, for instance, whether it's contraceptives or abortion for insurance from Catholic or religious organizations, the transgender. Think of the bill that passed last year or 2 years ago that said if a student is denied counseling from a Christian counselor, even if you go to a Christian school, that would be against.
You mean the conversion therapy bill?
Yeah, well, just think about that.
That's a charlatan type of thing. A lot of people think.
Well, what's charlatan about denying religious counseling to somebody?
We're short on time here. I want to get in a final question, Mike. It used to be there was widespread agreement among Americans about the threat posed by the Soviet Union. We remember a campaign ad used by Ronald Reagan about the bear in the woods. Now there's a partisan split. Democrats are much more concerned than Republicans about Russia. Why is that?
I just think it's a means for them to try to take down the president. I do. I think they would latch on to anything if they thought it could harm this president. So I think it's a bit disingenuous. I think it's a bit unpatriotic, if you want me to be honest about it.
How does that differ from what the Democrats did to Obama, the Republicans, excuse me?
That was unpatriotic, too.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And from the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity, CEO Mike Stenhouse.
Great to be with you.